More workers taking to the streets.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good day to you. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics around the world, and how it affects the United States. There is a big government protest today in Madrid, Spain. It could look a lot like what happened in Greece last month when violence erupted from workers unhappy about spending cuts. More than 2.5 million government workers are expected to take to the streets to push against labor market reforms in Madrid. Those reforms would make it easier for employers to hire and fire workers. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is in Spain this week covering the Spanish Financial Balancing Act. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So this sounds awfully familiar. What are these protests going to be about in Spain?
Well, this is the first strike by public sector workers here against the Spanish government's austerity plan to cut its public spending, bring its budget deficit under control. It cut public sector wages, among other things, by 5%, and the workers don't like it. Some of them are on strike.
We saw what that did to Greece. What's it like in Spain?
Well, the unions have called out 2.5 million workers. It's not yet clear how many have responded. I mean, out and about in Madrid, the city certainly hasn't ground to a halt. This, though, really is a test run for the unions. What they're trying to do here is gauge the public reaction. If it's favorable, they'll push ahead with a much bigger strike next month.
And what happens if it doesn't catch on?
Well, if it doesn't catch on, the government will be able to introduce its labor market reforms and get the crisis under control. This is pretty crucial, though, in the whole Eurozone story. Investors are watching this very carefully because the Spanish government has got to borrow $20 billion by the end of next month. If it can't do that under its own steam, if it has to resort to the bailout fund, that'll send a terrible signal to financial markets. And since this is the fourth biggest economy that uses the euro, that could hit the European single currency very hard.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in Madrid. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Shares in Europe are on the slide once again at the moment. Markets are lower by 1% or more. Asian shares were mostly flat today. Wall Street yesterday, more selling. The Dow was down 115 points to 98.16. It's now at a level it briefly touched when the markets tanked last month in that so-called flash crash. A lot's been made about South Africa and its preparations for the World Cup Soccer Championship. But what about the rest of the continent? The BBC's Steve Evans is traveling across West Africa, and he stopped in Ghana. Now, oil's been discovered off the coast, and it's expected to make a tremendous impact on that country's economy. He is with us now. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
So, oil, is this coming to Ghana in a big way?
It is coming to Ghana in a big way. They discovered it a couple of years back, but it's going to come ashore properly by the end of the year, as you say. And they're already debating what on earth it means for a very poor country. They're taking note, of course, about what's happening in the Gulf of Mexico. I talked, for example, to Nana Kabina Nketsia V. He's a chief of the region nearest to where the oil is out to sea.
If the oil company coming in sees itself as a pirate, is just coming in for the money and then moving away, one day we will get to know. And when we get to know, and you've done the wrong thing, it will breed anger. What has happened with the Gulf of Mexico? It's affecting the whole world. It's affecting the rich and the poor.
But Steve, oil obviously means money, right? And Ghana is a pretty impoverished country. Does everyone feel that way?
No, there are people who are already making money out of it. You go to the town of Takoradi, and it's dirt roads and very, very poor towns and villages and shanties, really, all the way along that road. And then suddenly you come to the town of Takoradi, and you spot fresh paint and new buildings. And you see people who are anticipating the oil, and they've set up businesses.
So do you think, Steve, looking at all the other situations, that they've learned lessons there?
If any African country can get oil right, my suspicion is that it'll be Ghana. But of course, you don't know till the money comes gushing out of the earth.
All right, the BBC's Steve Evans joining us this morning. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree.com. Tools and personalized advice to help control your financial destiny are at the all-new LendingTree.com.
The Obama administration yesterday said it would lift its restrictions on shallow water drilling. In Houston, deep water drilling in the Gulf of Mexico has been an important part of the energy economy there. Because of the BP spill, the government's ordered a moratorium on deep water drilling. Now, that's putting future exploration and production on hold and could lead to rigs being deployed elsewhere. From station KUHF in Houston, Ed Mayberry reports.
The lease rates for offshore deepwater drilling rigs run between $250,000 a day. There are over 30 of these giant rigs affected by the ban, and that means operators could be losing up to $15 million a day. That'll force oil and gas firms to exit the Gulf for new contracts elsewhere in the world. Texas economist Ray Perryman says workers will also move on.
When the workers are redeployed, which is fairly common in the offshore industry, some of the money will come home to be spent locally with the families, assuming they remain in the area, but a lot of it does get diverted elsewhere.
Perryman says once those workers and huge rigs are moved elsewhere, it's no small matter getting them back.
They're almost like having a small city out in the middle of the waters, and so it is a very difficult thing to redeploy. It's not something you can have happen overnight.
Perryman says smaller service companies and suppliers based in Houston will be particularly affected if the big rigs move on. I'm Ed Mayberry in Houston for Marketplace.
And finally, in Bluff City, Tennessee, Brian McCrary got a ticket from one of those speed cameras. And in the process of paying it online, he noticed the police department's web domain name was about to expire. So McCrary bought it. So now, instead of the Bluff City Police Department's website, there's a page devoted to criticizing that speed camera and how much cash it's collecting for the town. And at the very top of the page, a cartoon character of a police badge holding bright green currency. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. Catch us online and share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.